Good morning. I want to praise the Lord for giving me this chance to share the message in your first Sunday of this year in English congregation. You already saw our annual themes in Chinese and then in English. I plan that this message is not only for 1 year, maybe 2 years, maybe forever. Because this message is for us forever. So we pray that God, and through Holy Spirit, to teach us and how to understand and how to follow the meaning of this Bible, and also to act what we learn from this message. On the first Sunday of this year, I share with you the church's annual theme, Following Christ, Making Disciples. In response to the Great Commission enacted by the Lord, our Lord calling for world-class disciples who are truly tough disciples. They are the Christian who dare to be different from this world, and are therefore called radical disciples. In fact, when Jesus called people to follow him, he sent a radical call. A call that some people could not understand, and even could not stand. Because he said to his disciple, "If anyone who come after me, maybe we can read together, 1, 2, 3. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever saves himself, but whoever loses life for my sake will find it. For what will it be profit and for faith? For what shall a man give in return for his soul?" This call is not casual, wishy-washy, or half-hearted, but is a matter of great commitment. The call is a matter of life or death. God is not looking for the disciple who is perfect, but the one who is authentic, with the power to change the world. Following Christ, making disciples, is not really a new concept. In fact, many of you have heard it said before. But I want to ask everyone to seriously think about the theme and consider this challenge. You may wonder how a person to claim to be a Christian may not know Christ. How come there are so many people who claim to know Christ yet know nothing about their spiritual condition? The Lord said it clearly enough. He said very seriously, will you read it again? "Know everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me one day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Wow. I don't know how many times you heard about this message. Are you seriously take it? Who is Jesus addressing with this statement? Is it an outsider, the godless, some who has respect the gospel? Neither. He is addressing a religious person, A person who is superficially related to him. A person who does good deeds. A person who can cast out demons and performs miracles. But Jesus do not know them. Is there such a famous Christian in our day today? They do what Christians do, but they have never been saved. Some people call this kind of a person similar to a cultural Christians. Cultural Christians appreciate Christianity and are very much in favor of the teaching of Christianity. Unfortunately, their understanding of Christianity only stays at the level of rationality. They are full of Christian theories and biblical knowledge, but they have no meaning for their own lives. How can we help them? How will the truly saved person behave? What are the characteristics of a life that lives to follow Jesus? We must begin with the core belief that Christians are building a relationship with Christ. This is very important. So, maybe I can say, what does mean the true Christian is? Today, I only just share three messages for you. Because this year and next year, we have a lot of time to share with you if you allow me to speak and share in English. And we have more message about this. But today, I just want to give you three messages. What does it mean, true Christian or true disciples? What is the characteristic about it? One, repent. Do you remember, on the last Sunday, I spoke of what Jesus first preached to the disciples. From then on, Jesus came up and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The first message of Jesus is repentance. In fact, the message of repentance was also preached by John the Baptist and Apostle Peter. After Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, his first message was to preach repentance. When everyone listened to it, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brother, what should we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, and every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Period. What is repentance? It represents a fundamental change in one's mind and inner life. After repentance, he will move from one direction to the other in the opposite direction. From that moment on, his thoughts, his beliefs, feelings, life, and understanding of love will change dramatically. Once, the miracle of Jesus, the disciples, caught a lot of fish, and the net almost broken open. When Peter saw the two ships filled with fish, he fell down in front of Jesus and said, "Lord, and he said, "Lord, leave me, I am a sinner." He saw not money, but saw Jesus. In the face of holiness, he saw his own fear and weakness. Repentance involves abandoning the old way of life and pursuing a new way of life. It is impossible for a person to follow Jesus Christ if he does not repent. Christians still sin. Once they have committed a crime, they must plead guilty and turn away from sin and reconcile with God. If someone claims to follow Jesus, but at the same time lives in sin, it is self-deception. Following Christ is loving what he loves, doing what he wants to do, passing on what he has preached, doing what he wants you to do, again, and going where he wants you to go. This is being a disciple of Christ. So first things, repent. Second, following Christ should have a very good in deeds, and the people can see. That means you are born again. Actually, these words, this terminology, you have heard many, many times. To follow Christ means not only to repent, to reject, or to lay down old habits, ways, vices, ideas, but to regenerate, which is born again. This is the only place that is different from other religions and unique to Christ's calling. When Christ called the disciple to follow him, he did not say, follow certain rules, follow certain established regulations, perform certain religious ritual, or seeking special ways. Jesus only said, come, follow me. That's all. Come and follow me. Although the call of Jesus used several words, it shows his position. The ultimate goal of Jesus was not to teach the disciple to pursue a service religion. He wanted his disciple to establish personal relationship with him. His call did not say in a roundabout way, follow your own path to find life and the truth, or make up your own rules on how to follow me. Instead, he said bluntly, I am the way and the truth and the life. Come to me. Let your soul rest in me. Let your heart get joy from me. And let your life find meaning through me. Remember the message from John 3 about Nicodemus. As a lawyer and a Jewish leader, he was highly respected, obeyed the law, and believed in piety. But his heart and soul was empty. There was no spiritual life being lived. What was most valuable was he was willing to find Jesus even the night time. When Jesus saw him, he directly told him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again and he cannot see the kingdom of God. Later on, in another verse, Jesus said again, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus came to cleanse us with clean water, which means that he will wash away our sins through the blood that he shed on the cross. God gave us a new heart because of his sacrifice. We were reborn because of his sacrifice. Not only that, but he has given his Spirit to live in us and to renew us inside and outside. So that's why we need and pray God, the Holy Spirit, to be filled with us. This is the true meaning of rebirth, born again. If a person is not born again, he cannot follow Christ. So the second. So first one is repent. Second one is born again. And the last one, the message for today is trust and obey. Some so-called Christians have been trying to be Christians and try to be good Christians. Their mentality is no different from other religions. Eventually, they found that it is so hard to be a good Christian or to be a perfect Christian. The more you feel guilty, the more you serve, the more distressed you are. The more you become a Christian, you find that the less joy you have. Brothers and sisters, is this your current situation? You found that, hey, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a good servant. And you make any kind of effort to do it. But you found that the more you spend time and the more you find it useless. If you have such spiritual struggle and contradictions, the Lord Jesus tells you good news today. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Continue to read with me again. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you understand what Jesus said? The Lord Jesus spoke of two kinds of rest. Did you find it? The first kind of rest is that getting rest is obtained from Jesus only. So that's why I say, come and I will give you rest. And the second one is you will find rest for your soul. That is what you found. Obviously, the two kinds of rest are different. The first kind of rest that the Lord promised to give is all who labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. This is a promise to the unbelievers. The rest that is referred to is the rest from the burden of life. In our world today, who does not have to bear the burden? Burden for children, for the economic, work, marriage, and study. What is more, the burden of the soul is even more painful. The Lord said, come. He said, I will give you rest in peace. Our friend, do you have this kind of a rest? You need to go to Jesus. He said, come to me, or you have a burden and heavy laden. And the second kind of a rest that the Lord promised is given when he said, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He promised to the believers that whoever obeys and trusts will find rest in him. So important, when you are Christian, when you thought you are Christians, when you're experiencing you are God's children, the important thing is not only trust and also obey. Trust and obey is to live the victorious Christian life. A lot of people feel that, oh, I'm so weak, and repent again, and then fall and repent again, and cry for help, God, say, help me, help me. You always stay in that age, self-pity. You need to trust in the Lord, trust and obey. A lot of people say, yes, I trust you, God. You're going to lead me this way. But a lot of people, when the way given to you is not what you expect, no, I'll think about it. So they don't obey. But God warns us not only trust and obey. A lot of beginners, they are staying in the first stage, trust. That's easy for them. But for Christians, we need to learn how to trust and obey. Obey express what you are faithful is. So I will ask you, is it easy to believe God or to obey God? What is your answer? God wants those who believe and obey. You know, believe and obedience are the hallmarks of true disciples. And their beliefs can stand any test, not those who follow the trend of the world. Brothers and sisters, following Jesus Christ, what does it mean? First step to me is repent. And then what? Born again? And what else? Trust and obey. You will find that, wow, that is so easy. Just like what Jesus said, oh, I found that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise the Lord, you will find that. You want to find that? This year our topic is following Christ and making disciples. We pray that hopefully this is not only in our ideas and changing our idea and then learning more about it. We need to do some action. How to do it? Our Pastor Huang is going to share with you about it.
All right. Jesu te ama. Anyone knows? Oh, no. Okay. What?
Jesus loves you.
All right. You got it. Yes. This is really, exciting moment. For me, I'm excited to come here to share with you. What is the this going to talk about? See, we all know the Great Commission. Well, it's commanded by Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we all know that the Lord called us to be a disciple. But when we become a disciple, He orders us to make disciples of all nations, through going, which is missions, and baptizing, which is fellowship with Christ and the body of Christ, and then teaching them to obey, which transforms into maturity in Christ and Christ-like. So We all, I mean, not all, maybe. We all know how to drive the car, right? You have a gas, the engine work, electric system is working. But if you don't have the steering wheel, you're not going to anywhere. Discipleship is like this. It's all connected. If we only do mission and we don't have a baptizing, we don't have a teaching and obeying, it's just like you drive a piece of the steering wheel. You're not going anywhere. So it's all connected. And the good thing, the best thing is His promise. Christ says, He's going to with us always to the end of the age. Through what? Through the Holy Spirit He gave to us, inside us. So, many churches in this world do not have life-changing missions. Meanings, there is not much difference in life between those who are doing the missions and those who are recipient in the field, or even the people in this world. What's the problem? We follow the wrong guy, wrong person. I saw ads, there's a car insurance company, said, "You got a wrong policy." The guy said, "No, I got a wrong company." So this year, our church, anything, we all know. But actually, when you look at here, following Christ is discipleship, and making disciples is missions. So actually, these two are inseparable. Discipleship and mission comes together. Discipleship is a lifelong process and should make us more Christ-like. So this live in Christ, this results in living for Christ and having Christ's mind. So what is Christ in his Christ mind? What's his main thing? I think one of the things is missions. Because in Peter, 2 Peter 3:9, it says, he does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. There's a problem in most of the church, not in U.S. only. The influence of the church is not on not on who comes to worship, but on how many lives are transformed after worship. Who follow the Lord with all their heart, enter the word, imitate Christ, make disciples of all nations, and influence the world. So to be in line with Matthew 28, Great Commission, Acts 1:8, and 2 Peter. Our missions committee, we have updated our mission policy last year and emphasized making disciples of all nations. Last year, I have mentioned to you about UPGs, that's engaged and reached people group. So UUPG is a group which share the language and culture that has no reproducing local church, and nobody is yet trying to establish church among them. So according to 2015 statistics, 2 billion people belong to UUPG. Out of 400,000 missionaries, only 12,000 missionaries goes to this area. And 1% of $45 billion, this mission money go to UUPGs, or $450 million. This is money less than money of Halloween costume for the pets in U.S. So, we increase the funding to organization or individuals are doing the UUPGs. And of course, we have to reduce the decrease who are not doing that. So our 28, last year, there's a group called the Finish the Task. They provide us UUPG list. There's a 343, that's down from 1600 a few years ago. So if you click on the first one, you will see this big photo, chart. Whoops. And you will see in the worker needs, only one. So most of this area, only needs one missionary. Of course, you understand as a team, okay? Maybe two or three. But according to a recent IMB, International Mission Board, they provide us the progress of this UUPG. So you can see there's still a lot of UUPGs. So what's that to do with Honduras? Why I urge you to go to Honduras for missions? First, Honduras is one of the all nations, and it's the second poorest country in the world. And Jesus liked to preach gospel to the poor in Matthew 11:5. Although online statistics shows the country has 85% Christian, but God is not in their lives. Honduras has no blessing from God. Many houses are just earth war, some have even no at all. Only wrapping with plastic sheets. Most are single mothers who feed 2 to 7 children in a family. It's even the children, they may have different fathers. But usually fathers, they do not live with them. So men over there, they like to drink, do or sell drugs, rape young girls, and boast about it. Many poor people in Honduras has no hope. Combining, we saw the video, government corruption, lack of drinking water, and irrigation water. But the Christian in Honduras, they're different. They have the hope from our Lord. This picture, this mother, this Christian, she believed in Christ. She even adopted a handicapped girl. In the last November, Pastor Shen and I attended a team called a Vision, Living Hope global mystery. We call it a vision trip to Honduras. We bought around about $25 the grocery to some poor families and preaching the gospel to them. Many families over there just eat one meal a day. And the $25 food is enough to meet the basic need of a local family of four for half a month. So anyway, the mission, second mission to Honduras, can mobilize many members of our church for missions. 10 Chinese church in U.S., they have already had a mission trip to Honduras since May of last year. And most of them have planned to continue mission as a result of meeting we attend last November at Philadelphia. So among this mission trip, these three teenagers and the two young men, their life had been transformed through the mission to Honduras. So also we can partnership with other church in here, like they, if they are Spanish church, for example, for the mission, and mobilize them as well. When I was there, there's a group of the soccer team. I preached gospel then, and most of them raised their hand. So we really want to pray for them. The third reason is our religion or cult has launched their publicity in Europe, in Honduras, okay? For example, the merchant from the Middle East have invested money in a few towns in east, northeast of Honduras. So we should act promptly before other religion take hold of the majority. So number four, mission to Honduras is cross-cultural in nature, and also one of our priorities. Mission to UPG are still, of course, one of our important things. But I think so far in our church, no one is called to go into the area. Say if someone in you, among you, you want to go, of course, we're going to fully support you to that UPG areas. Most of the area of UPG is very hostile to Christian, even worse, much worse than Honduras. And 95% of the list is above, I mean, we show that only one missionary is needed. So for those who are called to Honduras for the mission, I think you needed to learn Spanish. It's very, I think, basic Spanish. Well, this brother, he tried to, you know, preaching the gospel to the children and women, but he speaks very little. But anyway, we know, we all saw him, and he's a very energetic and passionate too. I have a video, but we don't have the time. Well, number five, the cost of vision to Honduras and travel time to Honduras are comparatively less than those areas in Asia or Central Asia. For example, the cost $1,200 per person last November, okay? And there's no jet lag, only 1 hour time zone difference and 6 hours in the air time. So, and this is a picture we show. We have a sister church we are going to partner with if the Deacon Board pull the mission. We're going to have a VBS to this church, and we're going to have a medical team to this church. So in summary, Honduras mission work is called by our Lord to many of us being there and is a tidal wave to catch. Okay? So the life-transforming mission it means we need to have the action. If we are really true disciple of Jesus Christ, we should have this action. So if you are called by our Lord to Honduras or Kyrgyzstan or even local mission, though even the CMC 2019 here at Baltimore after Christmas, please let Pastor Tom and Debbie is our mission deacon this year, and John Wong, I know. The last thing I wanted to the usher pass on the faith promise for missions. Faith promise for missions. I apologize. Last year, I missed the chance to have the pledge, faith pledge for missions. So the first thing you want to, if you want to give faithfully. Whatever you yearly, year, quarterly, month, week, you can put on the money. And the second one, if you wanted to donate some of your time to participate in local mission, for example, the campus, whatever, and the restaurant, and free circle one, or even you want to pray, don't forget about pray. Pray is very important. Number three is want to seriously consider about the short-term mission this year. So you pray about, and the button you can cut out and for your reference, for your record. And you don't have to fill up now, but you just fill out and put on the, the outside the offering box or whatever, or give to Pastor Tom. Okay, thank you. God bless you.